Blog Talk Radio.
I wish there was a video game to teach your ancestor name. I wish there was a phone number like 1-800-SAVE-YOUR-BROTHER. I'm thankful for the radio station, not afraid to put the truth in rotation. But there is certain information that you can only get in conversation with young people. We'll talk to
old people.
It would make us shine.
This is First Ladies Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Suzlyn McDonald. I am coming to you from the wonderful, kind of cloudy today, but still bright because I'm excited. I am setting the expectation for myself that everybody else can enjoy it with me. I say again, good morning to you. This is First Ladies Blog Talk, and if you'd like to call in, the phone number is area code 347-324-5730. Again, this number, 347-324-5730. As you see, we have our regular thing we do. I'd like for you to get a cup of coffee, some hot tea, glass of water, whatever it's going to take for you to be relaxed for the next 27 minutes with us. You know, we come every single week, twice a week, and I actually titled the show, Why Are You Hiding? And I put it out there. I'm like, we're here every week, twice a week. We even have an amazing psychologist that comes on and gives you information that you would need in order to continue and to grow in the place that you are. But not just where you are, how can we move forward and be the best we can be? You know, the scripture in Matthew 7:7 says, ask, seek, knock. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you will find it. Knock, and the door will, it'll just fling open. But not everybody is willing to do so. So today, as I said, we have our own Dr. Phil, but really it's Dr. Judith. We call Dr. Judith Hilton with us. She says don't say doctor, but she's our Dr. Phil, so that's why we give that to you. But we're going to be talking today about staying faithful in ministry but not losing yourself. And, you know, I've been purposely kind of molding this strictly for First Ladies, but I am noticing now that it's not just First Ladies that need this information. This is future First Ladies, women and men that are going to be in the position, leadership position, all need to hear this. I look on my backboard and I can see how many of you are listening and you're hiding. The only way to get the answer is to actually check in. If you don't want to call in, you can actually go to our Twitter, First Ladies. You can actually go to Facebook. We have a First Lady's Facebook. Put some things there. If you're just afraid of coming out, afraid of getting your questions answered, or maybe you just get them from listening, whatever it is we can do, we'd like to do that. Well, I see my co-host is back in town. She's been gone a while, so I'm going to pull her in first, and we're going to get her pulled back into her position as the co-host of First Ladies. Good morning, Lady Kathy. Welcome home.
Good morning, Lady Susie. Thank you so much. It's good to be home.
I know. Smell your own sheets and your own. It's nice to go away, but it is fantastic to come home.
Oh, my God. Yes, it is. I had a wonderful time in Florida. My soul was really fed and nourished, and I had an awesome room. But there's no place like home. So
absolutely.
It's so good to
exactly.
Sleep in my own bed.
Tell us a little bit about what you were away doing, and then we're going to go ahead and get started.
Well, we took somewhat of a vacation, but we also included our actual reason for going was to attend the Pastors and Leadership Conference with Bishop T.D. Jakes in Orlando, Florida. And it was just phenomenal.
Okay.
It was so phenomenal. And I actually had a chance to sit in on a session with his wife, First Lady Sarita Jakes. And
right.
I tell you, if we could get her on the show, it would be phenomenal because this woman is so transparent and so real. And it was like, wow. I mean, she conducts her sessions like we do our show. So
fantastic.
Let's just put that in our bucket list, and our desire is to have her on the show one day because she is just very transparent. So the things that we talk about, she disclosed a lot of stuff herself. So it was just refreshing
wonderful.
To know that other First Ladies also endure some of the same things that we endure.
Exactly. Wow. Well, you know what? That you and I are going to actually go ahead and sit down and kind of make a plan then. That'll be great. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started with our show. Yeah, we're going to get started with our show. As you know, we have Judith Hilton on with us today, and she is our own personal Dr. Phil. She said to me, she said, don't say doctor, but I said, no, you're our Dr. Phil, and we want to bring you in. So good morning, our doctor, First Lady's doctor, Judith Hilton. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. And good morning, Kathy. It's so good to hear your voices again. I'm happy
good
to be here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we said we're going to get
you
started.
Bring the healing,
you
bring healing and deliverance, you're just automatically the doctor.
That's right. There you go.
That's right.
There you go.
Okay. Okay.
Well, we're going to go ahead and get started. We're going to get started with staying faithful in ministry, but not losing yourself. And we also have someone else on the line. I will be with you in just a moment, caller. We're going to get her going first. Staying faithful in ministry, but not losing yourself. I mean, that's such a great. This is a great conversation piece. Conversation to have with some coffee and some tea and some relaxation, and we're going to just throw the show at you, and we're just going to follow. Just give me some time once we get going to bring in our caller, if you don't mind. Okay, our Dr. Phil, our Dr. Judith, staying faithful in ministry but not losing yourself. Let's talk about that.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'd want to thank thank you for this opportunity again to share this. As I'm talking to a number of different people over the week, this past week, I went on a retreat myself and met a few people who are in ministry. And just to hear some of the same things that they're saying, they're feeling so burnt out and wanting to move on to other areas or just quit. And so you know, it's very important to stay faithful in ministry and not lose ourselves, because that's a big, big thing that's happening with a lot of pastors and their families and people in ministry in general. So, you know, the one thing I would say is the one goal I always keep before me is when I especially feel burnt out or feeling like I'm losing myself, is the first thing I keep saying is that the quote that I always remember is the one that says, I'm looking forward to keeping my eyes on the prize. And what is the prize? To hear the word from the Lord. Well done, thou and faithful servant.
Yes.
Every time I get weary or feel discouraged or feel like, wow, I don't feel like myself, I don't feel right, that is the thing I keep my eyes on, you know, remembering the prize. Keep my eyes on the prize. You know, he's the one, the author and the finisher of my faith. And if I keep my eyes on the goal of hearing those words, it really sobers me and makes me realize I'm not doing this for man, I'm doing it ultimately for the glory of God. And if that is the priority, then it really makes a difference. And I in my book, I share quite a lot of different illustrations about that piece, because that's why I call the book The Faith of the Pastor's Wife, Surviving in Ministry, Yet Remaining in Love with God and His People. And this ties in so well, Susie, with what your direction you're trying to go, because we find that this is the most important thing, that we do lose ourselves. We do get to the place where we're frustrated and we get weary and we get discouraged. But there's so much to look forward to. That's the thing that keeps us going, where we know that we're keeping our eyes on the prize.
Right. I'm going to bring this other caller in so that she can kind of join in with us, and that way we have all of our questions that can be posed directly to you and not just from my mouth, because I want all of us to go through this healing as well. Phone number 949-529-6999. Good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning. This is Melody. Thank you so much for taking my call. I wanted to make a comment and ask a question. I know for myself, I'm very new in my faith in God, and people knew me differently. And so now I'm actually sharing the Word of God. And I noticed, especially in social media, where before they were very, like my pictures or anything I post, but anytime it has anything to do with the Word of God or the scripture from the Bible, less people like it. So I'm like, people are not accepting me for who I am now, and they like me for who they thought I was before. I was just wondering if you have any advice for that.
Well, Melody, thanks so much for calling, and I hear you. I hear your heart and the fact that you have given your heart to the Lord, and it's a new way of life. And with your friends who do not know, probably have not received Christ, it's going to be a mystery to them, and it's going to be not necessarily something that they accept easily. But over time, when they see the light of Christ coming from your life and they see the change, I remember when I became a Christian, I used to, sing in the secular world. And then I became a Christian, and everybody thought, well, I still should be singing with a secular band in Jamaica. And I said, no, old things are passed away. All things have become new, and I'm not going to go back to that style. And there were people who didn't agree with me. They said, why can't you not still sing, secular songs or whatever. They would really criticize, and it really was wearisome. But one of the things I kept doing was, I knew that Jesus had done something miraculous in my life. I knew that He had transformed me and changed me. And so I was more, concerned about how I could please Him, especially when you're young and zealous for the Lord. And I can sense that in your voice, that you're excited about your decision. But it's just keeping step with Him, stay in the Word, keep your eyes on Him. I literally mean that. Stay in a community where you can get support, in a church family where you can get support, that when even after you're beaten up by the world, you can have that cushion of support of brothers and sisters in the Lord to kind of help you along. But I'm excited to hear about the good news, and you are going to be used of God, and just continue to allow Him to use you. Okay? I hope that answers your question.
Thank you so much for that. Okay, thank you.
Do you have any other questions, as a matter of fact, Mel?
No, not for right now. I think I'm going to listen. Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. Well, one of the things that we're talking about here, staying faithful in ministry and yet not losing yourself, one of the things that I am seeing, and even one of the questions that has been sent to me right now, is the staying in ministry and not losing yourself. One of the questions that was posed to me is, I feel like I've already lost myself. So how do I regain my strength and still stay faithful to the ministry?
Yes, that's a tough one.
Wow.
Because the thing is, most times when you have gone to the place where you feel so low, the enemy is right in the middle of that. And he will do everything to make you feel like to give up, to throw in the towel, to never, almost like, put your hand to the plow, but then look back. He just wants you to continue in ministry. So he wants no ministry to survive, no pastors, no pastor's
exactly.
wife, no members of churches. That's his plan. So he roars, the Bible says he like a roaring lion seeking you may devour. So his desire is to devour and consume you by focusing on people rather than focusing on God. So I would say I have a list that I always put before me, and I'm going to kind of share a little bit of that with you, if you don't mind, Susie.
Wonderful.
Please and one of the things, the first thing is when Joshua was in his crisis, you know, he said to the people, you know, choose this day whom you will serve. And that's the first thing. Okay, I'm deciding to choose to serve Christ. Even though I'm discouraged, I'm feeling way down, that's my goal. Okay, then I say, okay, the first thing I want to do is make sure that I stay connected with Christ. Because if you don't stay in prayer, and I can't say it enough, stay in prayer, talking to the Lord, listening to him, listening to what he's telling you, and not doubting, and reading his word in such a way that, especially scriptures that have to do with, you know, getting weary and well-doing, scriptures that have to do with discouragement. There's a long list you can get on the online and just type in discouragement, scriptures that deal with that. There's a flood of them that will encourage your heart. Read the Psalms that David went through a time of that he felt people were after him to kill him. And he said, they're after me to destroy me. They want to consume my very flesh. You know, there's so many scriptures that talk about how discouraged, you know, the psalmist David was. And those are the times I get into the Psalms, when I'm weary and I'm feeling discouraged. And then the other thing I try to do is you have to know who you are in Christ. If you know your identity, who you are in Christ, then it prevents these negative words. And I'm telling you, every day I have to deal with it. I'm a pastor's wife where, you know, people will say things and whatever about you. But the thing is, the hardest part is to keep your eyes on the things that are good, that's going well in the ministry. The easiest thing is to focus on things that are not going well. So if you can keep your eyes on what's going well, keep your know who you are in Christ. I'm more than a conqueror. You know, the scriptures that talk about victory, the victory I have in Christ, who I am. I'm loved. I'm beautifully and wonderfully made by God. You know, anything that can help you to build, remind you of who you are in Christ. That's another thing that's going to help your identity. Because most times we get discouraged when we put our energies on what people think about us and what people say about us and not what the Bible says about us and what Christ has said to us. And then the other thing is know your limitations. Know your limitations. My second point, if you know that you are not, you don't have it all, you don't have all the answers, there are times when you feel discouraged because you feel like, I should know this. I should be able to deal with this. Mm-hmm. I should be able to deal with this problem that I have in my life. Why can't I get it solved? Then you get discouraged. So if you know your limitations, you know my help comes from the Lord. You know, just as I lift my eyes up onto the hills, from whence my help comes from the Lord. And my help also comes from people who will feed me and encourage me and build me up. So you stay away from negative people. That's one of the first things I always say to people. Stay away from people who are draining you. Go around people who can help to build you up and support you. And, you know, and then keep trusting God for your daily bread. You know, keep trusting him just for today. Because I know for me, sometimes I get anxious about tomorrow. And I know I struggle sometimes with that. But if you keep the focus on, I'm just trusting God for my daily bread. What God did for the children of Israel was only give them manna for today, for the day. And he said, if you keep it, it rots. You remember when the children of Israel did that? They tried to hoard it.
Oh, yes.
And it became, you know, like, you know, it decayed in their houses. So sometimes we do that. We want to hold on to the future. We want to say, okay, I'm worried about the future. And the Lord says, be anxious over nothing. And so trusting God for your daily needs, to meet your spiritual needs, your emotional needs, is going to be important. And then, you know, remember the trials come to strengthen us. The trials come to only make us strong, even though it's hard to hear that. They come to make us strong. God will not take us through the fire, and we're going to be alone. You take us to the fire, and you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. For he loves you. And so that's what kind of helps to keep me. That's some of the things. I have some other things, but I'm going to give you some time to interject here, Kathy or Susie.
Well, you said one thing that was really, yeah, Go ahead, Kathy. Yes.
That's very encouraging because a lot of times when a lot of trials come, and it seems as if they all come at once. Either you're doing great or everything's coming down on you at one time, and it seems to be overwhelming, but the scriptures that you quoted and reading the Psalms, and because David often encouraged himself, he had to. And when you think about this, you know, your limitations is when God can really work, but we have to surrender our will to his will. And you can only do that in relationship and spending time in communion with God. And that's when we get built back up. Because a lot of times we're draining. You said don't allow people in your life that are draining and, you know, that pull on you. But unfortunately, as first ladies, that's mostly what comes to church, you know. And so we have to, you know, everybody got an issue and they need to talk to you. So, you lead them to the cross, you lead them to God, you give them the answers. It's in the word. And it's ironic to me how this happens after the message, the powerful message that the man of God brought. They got to talk to you after that because they got issues. And it's like, go get the CD because you didn't hear nothing he said.
Right. Well, you know something that you said that was really, really, you were talking about the bread and how people, I mean, God was leading them by day, by night. He had the cloud. I mean, they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, that was the Lord that was leading them. And again, with them wanting, they would still reach back, like Lot's wife. They would look back in order to at what they used to have. And the bread in their hand was decaying, which is really prophetic, decaying in their hand because they looked back in the meantime. And I think about even if you speak earthly, like when you're in Europe or any of the other countries, they don't have these huge refrigerators that we have here, that we have everything frozen, that you can go in and you can pull it out. So I want to have you talk, really kind of hit on that how you can have the manifestation of the word in your hand. It's alive right now. It's manna that can take you really from generation to generation. But your look, you're looking at the bread not as the bread of life, and allowing it to decay sitting right in your hand. That's what's going on in the churches. That's what's going on in a lot of us. Go ahead.
Yes. That is so true. It's like the woman at the well. Jesus says, I will give you the water that will never, you will never thirst. And he says, I'm the bread of life. And so, if we go to the source, we are really going to be nourished. And I tell people, and I try to say that one of the things that I've learned over the years, that every time my horizontal relationship is in conflict or turmoil or with people, I can almost guarantee you that my vertical, my relationship with Christ is not going in the right way. And every time I stay away from the word, I stay away from reading the Bible, I stay away from praying, I stay away from people who are helped to build, like, tomorrow morning I'm going to get together with a group of women who just come and put their hands over me and just pray over me. I mean, that is like life-giving. And these ladies, they don't have a clue how much they are a source of encouragement to me to face whatever else I'm going to face for the week. So I really believe that community, you said that word is key. Being in community is very important. And isolating yourself and as a pastor's wife is one of the most, I would say it's one of the things that would drain you and would really make you into the most unhappy person. And the tendency is to do that because you don't want to tell people in the church your business and all that. But find somebody outside. I think I said that on the last show.
Yes, you did.
I think it's the ultimate goal for you to do is to find people who can really pray for you and undergird you. That you feel free to say, you know what, I went to church Sunday and I just felt so frustrated. I'm just so tired of what's going on, and I don't like what I see going on. I don't like how they treat my husband. I don't like whatever. And you can feel that freedom to say that, and the person will judge you. So I think that if you have a safe haven, you have to have a safe haven. We all need a wall. You know, we all need a wall then, a place where we can go and hide. And the place that we can hide in is, as I said, I hide under the shadow of his wings, symbolically. God brings his people to do that for you. You know, even something like this, a program like this, Susie Lane, is good because we can talk about these issues and hopefully other can be encouraged in community. I know that there are a lot of us out there who are struggling. But because we have community, we know that there are people out there praying for us. And I agree with Kathy when you said that key thing was yielding totally over to the Lord. You said surrender. And that's one of the things I had on my head. That when we surrender, we say, God, I can't do this in my own strength. I give over. I'm done. I'm totally desperate. I'm like the song says, Lord, I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you.
Yeah, I got it.
My favorite song.
Yes.
You know,
me too.
I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for you. I can't do it without you. I cannot do it without you. And when you lean on him like that, it really helps you to regain the confidence again in who you are in Christ. And that, you know, I'm loved by him. He died for me.
Yes.
I mean, he is going to die for me, you know? Who else?
Right,
who else?
Exactly. Well, you know what, I have to throw it out there, too. Happy Mother's Day to every single mother. I remember one thing my mother used to say that was it's such a big thing. And I got two things I'm going to throw at you because we have 3 minutes left. First of all, my mother used to say, the reason that she used to tell us, you know, when I told you I brought you in the world, I would take you out when we were disobedient. You know, I know every mother, especially our ethnic mothers, would tell us that I brought you into the world, I will take you out. But she said something that I've never given birth, physical birth myself, but I have been in with every one of my daughters and daughter-in-laws. And the one thing my mother said that, I mean, even now, it hits me in my spirit. The thing is that in the process of giving birth to a child, that is the closest you will ever come to death. And when she said that, I never really understood until such as now. Happy Mother's Day to each one of you, every woman, for each and every one of you that took the opportunity to lay down your life to bring forth life is simply amazing. And if you would do that for the man you love, how much more would you do for God? I also wanted to interject one other thing. Melody is one of my daughters in the Lord. And it's so funny because we work in the same realm. She's been doing it for 3 to 4 years, and she's known these people. I tell you, since she got saved, we have gone to events that the people know. I've been only doing it a year with her, less than a year. And we go into the event, and everybody is shaking my hand, and she's standing right beside me, where usually it has been. It was her that they would go to first. Then they would shake her hand. Ladies, they would shake her hand. And they say, and you? And they looked at me to introduce her. And she was disturbed and perplexed by that. And I said to her, and she's there, she's my proof. I said to her, because of the paradigm shift that has taken place in your life, they don't see you anymore. That's what she was talking about a minute ago. They don't see you. They don't even hear you when you write the blogs that you have to write. It's because it's not you. Can you speak to that, please?
Yes. That is so. I mean, the Lord said that when we do give our hearts to Him, okay? He said to His disciples, if they hated me, they will hate you.
Yes.
And so I've always used that as the comfort that there are people who are not going to like you for whatever reason. It could be just the way you look. It could be just the way you talk. It could be your decisions that you make in your life, your children. It could be so many things. And that's so simple.
Yes.
But you know human beings are. And that's why it's the gap that they have in their lives that they are projecting on Melody. And people do that. The gap, I always say, people have gaps in their lives and they're not filling it with Christ. They feel it with something else. So they will vent to you. They will ignore you. They will act disrespectfully towards you because of the gaps in their life. And I tell clients all that the time that even when people hurt people. And people who are insecure, they exude insecurity. So, you know, I project that too. So, you know, it's human behavior. And we can never, the only thing that can change people's response to you, seriously, you just keep letting your light shine.
Amen.
Doing, you know, and they will, you know, see the good works, and ultimately something's happening in their hearts. Their hearts have been changed too. They will see, and they will see the light. So just keep walking by faith. Keep loving the Lord. Keep letting your beauty of Jesus shine through you. And you know, even your enemy, the Lord said, will be at peace with you. So, even your enemy can be at peace with you when you follow Christ.
Wow.
But you know what? We're at the end of the show. It always happens. We're right there. And I want to increase the time. But I tell you what, we're here every Monday and Friday, 10 a.m. to 10:30. And the meat that is on these bones, you don't even see the bone because of the meat that is being preserved and that is being served to you freely. I tell you, the Lord says, I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. I anoint your head with oil. But he prepares the table. And I say to you, Judith, Lady Kathy, Melody, and those of you that are out there listening, oh, my God, I am so refreshed. I have been so thirsty. I had been. And each and every one of us get to that point. With us being at the end of this show, we started out saying, why are you hiding? And I tell you what, for those of you out there that need the nourishment, that need the questions answered, like today, it's an opportunity that you don't pay anything for. Just like with God, it's freely given, but it also has to be freely received. This is First Ladies Blog Talk Radio. I'd like to thank my host, my doctor. I told you, you're going to be our Dr. Fields. Just forget about it. Judith Hilton. And she's here every second and fourth of every month. I tell you, we have a conference getting ready that we're working on right now. The little bits that you're hearing now, this is only a taste. This is a teaspoon of what you can receive if you just open your closed fist. Again, this is First Ladies Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Suze Lynn McDonald. My co-host, Lady Kathy Howard. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Hands of Comfort Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization that is here for you just like this. The phone number, 702-683-6373. And Destined for Glory Ministries, Pastor Tony Howard, and my co-host, Lady Kathy Howard. We will see you on Monday again. I say to you, this is freely given. Join us. Your desire to be healed and be the best that you can be is right at hand. Thank you, ladies. Have an amazing day.
Thank you.
That will suffice me till I see you again. Have a great day, and thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.